This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us this weekend. I'm Jason Kong alongside Mary Lucas, of course, representing Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm coated in pollen.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? But I think the end is in sight.
Is it? Do I wash my car? Do I not wash my car? Do I spray off my porch? Do I not spray off the porch?
It's a dicey situation. So here's my rule of thumb. The car, it's usually pretty easy to, you know, run through a second batch.
True, true.
The porch, I feel like, is like
a whole afternoon.
A whole afternoon. So I wait until you're completely sure. Give it a couple weeks.
Okay, fair enough. It's hard to have a white dog right now because he's a yellow dog and then he's a therapy dog. So I have to take him in the hospital and I'm just like, okay, I have to wash your paws because otherwise you look unsanitary. He just, you know, TMI. But anyway.
Brief aside, I was at the airport last week and, you know, after our show we did a few weeks back on real therapy dogs and
yes.
not real therapy dogs. I found some not real service dogs.
Darn it.
In the airport. And I immediately thought of you.
Like, no.
Oh, you're lucky Mary's not here. She'd give you a good talking to. All right. Anyway, let's get to the heart of the show here. And we're going to kick things off talking about aging in place. And this is oftentimes a priority for most folks mm-hmm. who are dealing with caregiving, and we are very pleased to welcome onto the show Christian Kerner. Christian is owner and founder of Vital Watch 24-Hour Health Management. Christian, thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Definitely. I'm super excited to talk about this. This is a hot topic, aging in place. You know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day and they were like, yeah, we're working on dying in place. And I was like, it's not dying in place. It's not dying in place. It's a little bit different. It's aging in place. I didn't correct them because I thought it was kind of funny and we had a good laugh about it. But Christian, what exactly is aging in place? We keep hearing this and, you know, it's trending this way, but what are we talking about?
Well, listen, this is a very hot topic right now, aging in place, because, you know, with our aging demographic, we have so many people that have the desire to age in place, you know, which essentially means aging where you are. And for most people, that means aging in the home that they've been in for the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, they raised their children there. They got married there. Their kids moved out from that place. And now, you know, husband and wife are enjoying the golden years, as we call them, and you know, but they're going to get older and mm-hmm. older and older. And for some people, living at home and being able to age in their home as they get older can present some challenges. And unfortunately, while we would all love to be able to die at home at one day, mm-hmm. That's not always possible. So the concept of aging in place really is about helping people stay home as they get older.
Is there ever a time when aging in place is not an option? I think about my grandparents before they moved out of the home that my dad grew up in. There were a lot of stairs and there was a basement and there was a fireplace and a furnace and like keeping the house warm was a whole thing. And there was wood. And like, I was just thinking when we were talking about this just now, it's like, there's no way they could have aged in place. We, you know, I see mm-hmm. that could be a problem for some. So talk to us a little bit about that. If it's not an option, what next?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, of course, one of the concerns that we have as we age in place is, when is it not safe to age in place? And really, it comes to two things. One, when safety becomes a significant issue. And we're talking about, you know, when we're younger, we can sprout up and down those stairs and we can dart down the basement when we're chasing our kids and eventually our grandkids. But, you know, there comes a time where just getting up out of a chair becomes difficult. Mm-hmm. So imagine trying to get those 80, 90-year-old bones up and down stairs and, well, the hips don't work like they used to, or the, you know, the old lower body just doesn't have the resilience it used to. Sometimes our balance is off as we get older. Well, all it takes is one fall for you to really stop mm-hmm. being able to age in place, because you are in the hospital or you're in rehab, and next thing you know, you're getting shipped off to an assisted living facility. And that's not what we want. We mm-hmm. don't want it to get to that point. So really, safety becomes the biggest reason why people can't age in place. Sometimes it becomes a financial thing too. You know, when a spouse passes away, sometimes their income or their pension disappears. And sometimes it's just too difficult because of that, to maintain a big 2,000-3,000 square foot house where you lived all this time. And then of course there's meeting your own needs. If you can't leave the home to get to doctor's appointments or go shopping, things like that, if you're unable to meet your own basic needs, aging in place may become a problem. So there, you know, it's really kind of case by case, but it's something that you want to consider as you get older and as your needs are going to, you know, be less and less able to be maintained.
Absolutely. So I want to dig into a few of these different things that you've talked about here. When we think about aging in place, you mentioned avoiding hospitalizations, avoiding falls, and that's a big thing about health management at home. What kinds of things can you do to manage your health to avoid this, or even from the caregiver perspective, if someone is not living in the home, to help someone else manage their health from where they are as well? I think there's a lot of long-distance caregivers that think about this exact issue. So what kinds of things can you put in place to manage your health to avoid hospitalizations and be able to age in place?
Yeah, good question. And one of the first things that we often see with people who are trying to manage their health at home is, of course, when you're diagnosed with ongoing health issues or you start to get older and things, you know, require medication, making sure your medications are in place consistently, because, you know, one of the reasons why people start to have health problems is they get prescribed medication or they get diagnosed with a health issue. And they're just not sure how to fully manage this, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, things like that. You want to make sure that you have a list of, you know, what your health problems are, what your health needs are, and you want to make sure you have those solutions in place, your medications, a list of your providers, making sure that you're keeping appointments with your providers. I can't tell you how many times people have tried to manage health problems and, you know, then I go into the home and they haven't been taking their medications correctly, or they haven't seen their doctor in 2 years. So, a helpful list of things that you need to take care of as part of your health management. Also, making sure that your family or, neighbors or friends or whatnot know what your needs are, because more often than not, people, as they get older, tend to isolate. And you don't want to become that person that nobody's heard from for 3 months, and all of a sudden you find out they're in the hospital through a friend. Managing your health at home is something that shouldn't be attempted unless you really have a good sense of what your needs are and how to manage things by yourself. So list of doctors, list of medications, list of health issues, and list of phone numbers you can call for various types of needs.
Absolutely. Are there kinds of products or services, technology that you can put in place to help you age in place?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the reasons why I started my company called Vital Watch 24 Hour Health Management is because I saw the need for having, you know, the use of technology as it has evolved over the past 10 years. Of course, we all know what an Apple Watch is. We all know what an iPhone is or an Android. Most of us have one now. I see the older generation embracing technology, as you know, because they've been familiar with it. And now technology can kind of tell us how we're doing in a remote way. So for example, I've been a nurse 25 years. One of the things that used to drive me nuts was finding out a patient had gone to the hospital, or finding out a patient had a health issue that we could have caught 2, 3, 4, maybe even a week before it landed them in the hospital or became a 911 call. Now we have technology through the use of apps on the phones. We have Bluetooth technology such as blood pressure cuffs. We have wearable smart bands, such as Apple Watches and the like, that can relay important health information to health providers and nurses and doctors and other individuals that can keep an eye on things remotely. You know, kids also have been starting to use this technology. You know, they'll put an eye watch on mom and dad, And then they'll go onto their iPhone and see what mom and dad's heart rate is, or, you know, what their blood pressure has been or whatnot. So a lot of technology is starting to evolve, especially over the past 6 or 7 years. We've been able to track a lot of health metrics that are important indicators for how someone's health is doing. So there are a lot of options available now, and VitalWatch has really kind of embraced that technology and has kind of created a care delivery service that allows us to monitor individuals through use of technology on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm.
The technology piece really has been key in helping us progress in this area. We're speaking with Christian Kerner. Christian is owner and founder of VitalWatch 24-Hour Health Management. They are a chronic care management service, and we're going to continue our conversation with Christian right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your hosts, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. I am Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest with us on the line is Christian Kerner. Christian is owner and founder of VitalWatch 24-Hour Health Management, and we are talking about all things aging in place. And Mary, we just kind of ended last segment with a discussion related to technology and how that's really helping us unlock a lot more doors when it comes to aging in place.
Absolutely. Christian, can you talk to us right before the break? We touched on VitalWatch a little bit. Can you dive in a little bit more about what VitalWatch is and what you all offer?
Absolutely. So being a nurse of 25 years, and I'm an advanced practice nurse of a couple of years now, one of the things that I've seen over the course of my career is the need to have a service or, you know, some kind of modality in place to help individuals who have any kind of ongoing health issue. You know, most people that I've met have high blood pressure. A lot of people have diabetes. A lot of people have heart and lung issues. Some people are dealing with dementia. Others have caregivers, you know, loved ones who are kind of starting to have to take on the role of caregiver in a more clinical sense, and a lot of people are not trained for that. What VitalWatch has done is created a service where basically you have a registered nurse, so, you know, the RN level of care in place to address any health issues that may come along. For example, let's say someone has high blood pressure, okay? Mm-hmm. They're taking 2 or 3 blood pressure medications or whatnot. Well, unless someone's actively taking their blood pressure every day and tracking that and sending it to the doctor, no one really knows if their blood pressure meds are working most of the time. So what we do is we've used technology. We're utilizing newer technology such as Bluetooth blood pressure cuffs, you know, just standard blood pressure cuff, but it transmits to an app that, you know, can be placed on your phone, or a weight scale for people who have fluid issues or heart failure, things like that. People who have oxygen problems or lung problems, we can use things called a pulse oximeter, this little thing that you put on your finger and it tells you what your oxygen level is. You know, and we also have wearable smart bands that gives us ongoing tracking of heart rate and blood oxygen, tells us how well you're sleeping, steps and distance walked. All of these are easy to use. You use them just like you would, you know, if somebody said take a blood pressure at home every day, or you know, wear your watch every day. And so these devices can transmit through your phone to our service, where your registered nurse who is assigned to you is constantly tracking those numbers. So instead of taking a shot in the dark and your doctor saying, you know, well, how's your meds doing? How are your meds doing? They look okay. Well, now we can have the actual readings. We can have the numbers for your doctor whenever you go into the doctor's office. But even more important, though, Mary, is that we can see before it becomes a bigger problem. Mm. So if your blood pressure, you know, medications aren't working as well and your pressure's creeping up to the, you know, 150s, 160s, 170s from us, you know, systolically, we're not going to wait until you start having stroke-like symptoms. We're not going to wait until you start having chest pain. We're going to be able to reach out to the doctor days, months, weeks before there's a problem and let them know what's going on. And so now the doctor can make a medication tweak, you know, early on. Or we can schedule a doctor's visit because maybe a checkup was warranted more sooner than the six-month visit. Technology has really become a way for us to get data from individuals who have chronic health issues and make use of it before problems evolve to a 911 or ER call. And the technology is very easy to use. If you can use an iPhone and you can tap an app, you can literally use what VitalWatch's services are all about.
That was going to be my next question. Do you have to be tech savvy to make these things work and to set them up and get everything going?
No, not at all. So it's quite as simple as we'll come out to the home and we show everybody how to do this. We've made it very easy. Step one is you will download an app to your phone and then you tap the app on your phone. Step two is you take the blood pressure device or the, you know, stand on your scale or you use your pulse oximeter, and then it will take the reading and ding it to your phone. And then from there, it transmits to our office, and that's quite literally it. It is, I mean, if you can make a phone call on your smartphone, you can use the devices and the technology that VitalWatch uses. So we've made it very simple because we understand our demographic. You know, we have our 70, 80, 90-somethings who, you know, they're not very familiar with iPhones or technology or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we've done what we can to make this a very easy and smooth way to use technology in a way that's simplified for our older population.
That's wonderful. I know that our listeners are probably wondering, what does something like this cost? Can it be covered by Medicare? Can you talk to us a little bit about the payment structure?
Well, this is the part I'm most proud of, Mary, is VitalWatch's services are 100% covered by your Medicare or your Medicare Advantage plan.
Wow.
I worked very hard to figure out how to put together various benefits that already exist in the Part B side of Medicare. After figuring all this out and going back and getting my advanced practice license, getting credentials with Medicare, went through the due diligence of hiring a law firm and getting approval by the state and by the Board of Nursing, VitalWatch launched as a fully covered Medicare service. So our patients get these services covered fully, 100%, and they can have us in place as long as they want, because Medicare defines certain chronic illnesses as illnesses that you expect to have, you know, for at least 12 months or until the rest of your life or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so when people come on VitalWatch's service, not only can they get it fully covered, but they can have it in place as long as they want it. And that's been the real key benefit, because, you know, what's the point of a service if you're going to drop off and that's when problems will occur? Mm-hmm. No. Once you have VitalWatch, you can keep VitalWatch whenever there's a bump in your health or a change.
I can imagine you've seen some pretty good success stories and preventing hospitalizations and helping people manage chronic illness. You know, my grandfather had heart failure, and managing that was a nightmare, to say the least. He's no longer with us, and he's someone we talk about on the show some. But, you know, watching his weight and his fluid build up, and he would lie to us, and he would lie to his providers. He was on palliative care, then in hospice, and he was like, "Nope, I weighed myself." And they were like, "Then stand on that scale." And he was like, "I told you, I already did it." And the lying was a troubling thing for all of us, and especially managing that from a distance during COVID was so difficult. So I can imagine you've seen some pretty good success here for patients, but also for caregivers who might not be around or live close by their loved ones.
Yeah, well, it sounds like your grandfather and my grandfather were two peas in a pod, because he was one of those, unless it's hanging off, I'm not going, having a doctor take a look at it.
Exactly.
You know? And one of my favorite success stories, Mary, is one of my first patients that came on service. Very nice lady. She's 86 years old. She's still on service today. But when she came on service, she had blood pressures in the 190s and 200s. She hadn't seen her doctor in probably 8 or 9 months. She had no idea what her pressure was like, but she kept getting these episodes of chest pain, shortness of breath, and she was gaining weight. So one of the first things we did was we went into the home and threw a blood pressure cuff on her. We put a wearable device on her. We put a weight scale in on her. Well, literally within about 5 or 6 weeks of her being on service, we caught an episode of what we called tachycardia, mm-hmm. and her heart rate jumped into the 150s and 160s. She got very lightheaded. Well, we wouldn't have known that if she didn't have the service in place. She called our service because, you know, that's one of the things you can do is you can contact one of our nurses 24 hours a day. And she said, I feel awful. We hopped online. We looked at her readings and said, you need to call 911 right now. She went to the ER. They found the problem, adjusted her medication, sent her back home. Now, you know, and she told me the story of how her mother passed away at 87. Well, now she's 86, and now they put a pacemaker on board because they found what the problem is, adjusted her medication. She's taking her daily weights every day. This woman is now doing an hour of physical therapy every day. Wow. This woman has eliminated two or three of her other medications, and her daughter, as part of our service, is able to take a look at her readings and know when mom's not taking her measurements because, you know, we can set it up to where family members can see mom and dad's readings as well. So not only are the nurses keeping an eye on her, family members can also keep an eye on her as part of our service. But the best part about it is, and the greatest success story is, this woman's potentially fatal illness exacerbation was not only caught in time, but now she's in a good, stable place. And you know, every time I see her, she's like, I don't even know what you're doing here anymore. I feel great.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling. Christian, if folks listening want to find out more about Vital Watch 24-hour health management, how do they do that?
Easy. Go to vitalwatch24.com. That's VitalWatch24.com. And the 24 is the numbers 2 and 4. Or you can call our office at 919-400-5011. It's very easy for us to get a consultation out to you. We come out to your home. It's another part of aging in place. We'll sit down and go over the benefits with you. If you love it, we set up another in-home visit to get you started with our service. And then the service is in place. It's really that simple.
Simple is always good. That is the voice of Christian Kerner. He is owner and founder of Vital Watch 24-Hour Health Management. Christian, thank you so much for your time today and for helping us have an informed discussion all related to aging in place.
Oh, this has been a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure is ours as well. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are now turning our attention to an event that is happening in our area very soon, and we are excited to have a discussion related to a very important walk, the Walk to Defeat Dementia, and we're very pleased to welcome onto the show Heather Hooper. Heather is Executive Director of Dementia Alliance of North Carolina. Heather, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Jason and Mary. I'm happy to be here this morning.
This is such an exciting walk for me and for many people in our community. So tell us a little bit more, Heather, about what's coming up. The 31st annual, is that right?
That's right. So we've been doing this walk as an organization 31 years.
Wow.
So it'll be Sunday, April 21st at Fred Fletcher Park in the afternoon. So after you go to church or you're have your morning, come join us. It will support Dementia Alliance's support and caregiver education programs. And it's just a day of celebration and remembrance as we provide hope to those living with dementia right here in North Carolina.
That is wonderful and something that is so needed in our community. Tell us a little bit more about the day of festivities. What does the walk look like? How can people participate? Yeah. And what if they can't walk in person? Are there other ways to contribute?
Absolutely. So they can join us at Fred Fletcher Park starting at 1 o'clock, and there's going to be music, raffle items, lawn games, jazzercise is going to be there.
Yes.
We'll have MC Josh Chapin from ABC 11 and a performance by NC State Grain of Time. So just something for everyone, lawn games, that sort of thing. And there's no cost to attend and to be with us that day, but we do hope that people fundraise, whether they can come or not. And they can register and fundraise on our website at dementianc.org/triangle2024.
Wonderful. Is there a deadline to register or to donate to be able to participate in the walk?
So to participate in the walk, if you want to register prior, Thursday, April 18th is the deadline to register ahead of time, but we can always take walk-ups. So you can kind of make it a game time decision once you see the weather. And then there is also donations will be open for like another month after the walk on the 21st.
That is amazing. And for those who know me and listen to the show know that pets are very important to me and to everyone on this show. Can you bring your dog?
You can.
Our
walk is pet friendly. Obviously, we ask that all pets remain on the leash. But yes, it is pet friendly. So bring your furry friends. We feel like that's a great way to connect and have a good quality of life, is including our pet friends and our kids.
That is wonderful. And last question for you about the annual walk to defeat dementia before I want to dive in a little bit more about what it supports and the services that you all provide as well. But can you also bring your loved ones that are living with dementia along with you to the walk?
Yes. Yeah, so this is going to be a dementia friendly event. There will be areas where we'll have tables set up so people can have plenty of seating. You're welcome to bring lawn chairs. The course itself is relatively accessible, but you know, you may want to walk it first and make sure that your loved one can do it. It's a relatively short course. I think it's, you know, less than half a mile, and people can do it multiple times if they want. So absolutely, please do bring your entire family, including your friends and loved ones living with dementia.
That is wonderful. The 31st annual Walk to Defeat Dementia coming up here. And tell us again the date and the deadline to register.
So April 21st, rain or shine, Fred Fletcher Park here in Raleigh. And then register online prior by April 18th, or you can just join us the day of the event and register on site.
Awesome. Well, I want to dive in a little bit more into the things that this walk supports as well and the services that you all provide. Something that I find very valuable, and especially when speaking with our families that we do at Transitions Life Care, is the navigation services that you provide, your dementia navigators. Can you tell us a little bit more about this program, which is supported by this walk and everything that you all do? Who are dementia navigators and what kind of services are they trained to assist with?
Absolutely. So, you know, Dementia Alliance believes that everyone impacted by dementia deserves the resources to have the most optimal quality of life until there's a world without dementia. And I hope that that's in our lifetime. And our dementia navigators are a huge part of that. They are dementia trained social workers that are there to assess the specific needs of our caregivers and provide the personalized recommendations, coaching, support, referrals. Sometimes it's having those difficult conversations with loved ones, and they can help you find the words to do that. We had one lady who her mother unfortunately passed from cancer, and she had to keep telling her dad, and so she was at a loss for words on how to tell her dad in a way that didn't rip off that emotional band-aid so many different times. And so our navigators worked with her to come up with language that she could use that would just both honor her mom and her dad and her own grief journey. They're there to, you know, make referrals out into the community. Sometimes people come to us and they really know they need hospice care. And so we may have that conversation about bringing transitions or other partners throughout the state mm-hmm. in. And then they can also just educate in that one-on-one space about the disease and what people can expect as they go through their journey.
That is amazing.
And I will add that this service is provided at no cost to the family. And wow. we see roughly about 650 families with this program a year. And so, you know, the support of the walk and other fundraising initiatives directly support the families living in North Carolina.
That is wonderful. When is this service available? Is it something you call Monday through Friday, or how does someone get in touch with this team of Dementia Navigators?
So they can call our Dementia Navigation, our office, Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, and they are available to speak by Zoom, phone. Sometimes we do schedule in-person consultations here at our office, but you know, no matter where they are in the state, they're able to talk to somebody. If we're not available or if it's a weekend, people can leave a message or use an online form that we have on our website and leave a message, and we'll get back with them within usually about 72 hours.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us a little bit more. I know you have other support groups available if this one-on-one Dementia Navigator experience is not what they're looking for, but looking for more, you know, camaraderie or other people to lean on. Can you talk to us a little bit about support groups that are also available?
Yeah, so we have caregiver support groups, and you're right, they act as that positive outlet, a regular time for social interaction with people that get it. You know, often people come to me and they're like, I don't want to sit around and talk about my feelings. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. These are great ways to get resources or, you know, what's worked for other people and just connect with people who get it as mm-hmm. caregivers. And really people feel like they're not alone anymore after attending a support group. In the state of North Carolina, we have 165 support groups in 63 counties.
Wow.
Here in Wake County, we have 24 support groups. Some are online and some are in person. And people can go on our website and find a listing of those by county.
Wow, that is amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah. We're speaking with Heather Hooper. She is Executive Director of Dementia Alliance of North Carolina. If you want to register for the Walk to Defeat Dementia, you can go online to dementianc.org/triangle2024. dementianc.org/triangle2024. Be sure to register by Thursday, and you'll be ready to go for Sunday's wonderful event. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas, and now we are going to have a discussion related to a really fascinating program, Mary, mm-hmm. that I think we're very excited to talk about. And we're going to have this chat with Heather Hooper. Of course, she is Executive Director of Dementia Alliance of North Carolina, and we are going to chat a bit about the Music and Memory Program. What do we need to know about this, Mary?
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this program. I remember when my grandmother had Alzheimer's, music was something that was very special. Visiting with her in the facility, you could see music bringing joy to a lot of people's lives that are living with dementia in the facility that she was in. So I'm really excited, Heather, to talk to you more about this program and what you all offer to the community. So can you tell us a little bit about what is Music and Memory?
So, yes. So at first, I want to talk about just music in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we know through science that music has been and been shown to improve health and well-being, increase nutrition intake, mood, increase our mood, our overall quality of life. And that's across the board for mm-hmm. everybody. And additionally, it shows that it reduces depression, agitation, and anxiety, rejection of care for people who are living with dementia. And so it's not only for people who are experiencing brain change, but just all of us. You know, you put on that song and you're just taken back to high school and you're feeling good, and it really can boost that mood. And so this, for people living with dementia, is a great tool in our toolbox to help ourselves as caregivers mm-hmm. and to help our person who's living with dementia. And so Dementia Alliance of North Carolina is created the Music and Memory at Home program, and it's part of another organization too called Music and Memory. We decided we wanted it for people who live at home still. Mm-hmm. And so it's an evidence-based program that helps people living with dementia find that renewed joy and connection through musical favorites. Our team, our volunteer team, is trained to help develop personalized playlists, and we create a kit. And that person and that family has that kit to use throughout the duration of their care.
How have you seen this make a difference in the homes of those who are living with dementia and the caregivers? You all have been doing this program for a bit now, and I'm sure you have seen great success with it.
It's truly amazing. I will tell a story about a family that reached out to us. We got them hooked up with a kit. They went through the whole process. And their mother had to have some procedures done at the doctor's office. And it was causing a lot of anxiety. It was causing a lot of, just stress on the whole family. Mm-hmm. They were able to use her music kit, and she was able to get the procedures done with far less stress. And it was something that they had been putting off. So that's the power of music. That's the power of this program. And it really does help family members age in place longer, remain at home longer. We know that 66% of people are still living in the community as they age. And so we really want to give them the tools in the toolbox to make that possible. It provides respite. It eases the stress of transitioning from one environment to another. And it's a low-cost, effective option to reducing resilience on mood-altering medications. Now, I'm not saying that that's not needed in some mm-hmm. cases, but, you know, we want to make sure that we give people all the tools in the toolbox. We've seen success around mealtime, before bathing. We've seen people do dance parties with their loved ones, which is just so great to offer that connection. Using it instead of television, relaxing before going to sleep, when they have to travel, before medical appointments and family visits, and even on hospice and palliative care. So it really is something that someone can truly use through their entire life.
Who can participate in this program? Are there any boundaries on that? And how does someone get signed up for it?
Absolutely. So anyone still living at home with dementia in North Carolina can participate in our program. There is no income requirements or limitations there. I will say sometimes it does take, you know, a couple of weeks to maybe a month or two to work through the process, because we are really intentional about making it personalized music. Jason, your music taste, my music taste, and Mary's music taste would be completely different. And so we want to honor the individuality of the person. So in order to get started, just visit our website at dementianc.org/music, and there is a form to fill out. And that's the first step, is an intake form to help gauge that personalized part of the playlist and, you know, get in our system. And our volunteer or our music and memory coordinator, Phoebe, will be back in touch.
Is there any cost to participate in the music and memory program?
No, there is no cost for the participant. Yeah. So we've got very generous sponsors. ASI is a big sponsor of this program, as well as other grant funding and private donations. And so it's made it possible for us to do about 100 kits a year, which we're really proud of.
You know, I ran across my I don't even know what this is called anymore. This is so long ago, it feels like. But, and I'm looking at a pile of CDs here on this desk. But like a portfolio, I don't know, the CD holder thing that you used to keep CD in your
case,
CD case. Okay, that's how basic that was. Yeah, okay. And I was looking at the titles of my burned CDs, which I'm sure, shout out to my dad, was is super mad about because it was like Napster blew up our computer a million times. But I found a CD player, also very difficult to do, and replayed some of them, and it brought me a lot of joy to listen to some of the old music, although not the best music choices back then. But I music really does bring a lot of joy, and this program, I think, is a great example of that. And so thank you to the Dementia Alliance for putting this together for the many people in our community that benefit from it.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because actually high school, so someone wanted to make their own playlist, looking at what people were interested in that high school to early 20s, even like early 30s range of their age. That's the sweet spot of when really music ingrains into our soul. And so that's where you want to focus of what did the person, where were they at in their lives and what did they like during that time period. So it's not surprising your portfolio brought back a lot of good memories.
My favorite one was titled Volleyball Warm-Ups. And, and I guess I warmed up to the volleyball games to this CD. I'm sure my dad didn't think that this playlist brought me or him any joy, but it was a good listen. Heather, finally, before we log off here, a lot of things you all do at the Dementia Alliance couldn't be done without the support of volunteers and donors. Tell our listeners a little bit more about how they can be involved with the Dementia Alliance of North Carolina.
Thank you so much. Yes. So there's always something to be involved in. And so just visit our website. There's ways to get involved listed there. And that's dementianc.org. And again, yes, thank you. We definitely could not do it without groups of volunteers and supporters that really make this work possible.
The website again, dementianc.org. And if you want to find more about the music and memory program, dementianc.org/music. Heather Hooper, Executive Director of Dementia Alliance of North Carolina, thank you so much for your time and for discussing this wonderful program with us today.
Thank you.
It is our pleasure. That will do it for us today. Remember that you can catch a replay of this episode, and really all past episodes are cataloged on our podcast. You can go to WPTF.com, click on shows, find Aging Matters. There you can find the full archive of podcasts. You can also search for Aging Matters wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe that way as well. If you want to catch up on past episodes, or maybe you want to learn more about some of the topics that we addressed today. On behalf of Mary Lucas, I'm Jason Kong. Thank you so much for joining us today for Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.